Sports 180 continues on this Wednesday afternoon. We have 30 minutes to go, and then Sports Talk will take over. And we are pleased to go to the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline to welcome to the show Braden Gall from 440 Sports, part of Athlon Sports college football coverage as well. Braden, we appreciate the time. And, of course, 440 has had coverage of what went on this past weekend. Overall thoughts with the Titans draft and, of course, the Rashad Weaver story at the beginning of the week started to dominate the conversation after the draft was over.
Yeah, I'm fascinated. You guys know me. I'm obsessed with media as much as I am with sports now. And I'm sort of fascinated. Like, Jeffrey Simmons was on tape doing something potentially worse, let's call it, right? Like, this is a misdemeanor for Rashad Weaver. I'm just curious. I mean, Taylor Lewan had stuff on his resume when he was drafted. I'm just curious, if this had happened in January, would we be reacting the same way? Sadly, it's probably tied directly to how good he's going to be for the Titans and how good they view him, and fans tend to sort of push this stuff aside. I think that the media could hold the Titans a little bit more accountable and say, look, if you didn't know about this, why didn't you know about this? I know the timeline is super condensed, which, if you don't know, the incident happened on April 18th, 12 days later, it was filed in court, and then May 1st on Saturday, he's drafted. So, like, the timeline is awfully tight for everyone to know everything. We assume that the player and the agent and all of them knew, but, like, again, like, let's be super cynical and live in the real world here. Is it the wrong thing to do to not tell anybody, tell any teams that are interested in you that this happened? Of course. Does anyone, understand why they didn't? Of course we understand why they didn't. It's like steroids in baseball. Like, I don't have to, it's not hard for me to understand why a kid from the Dominican Republic with seven siblings on a dirt floor took steroids to change their family's generational wealth forever. Like, that's not a complicated formula for me to understand, yet we still have this outrageous feelings towards steroids in baseball. So, again, very different situation. Back to your, like, real question, which is, hey, I think the Titans had a really good draft class. And I think people are lost in, fantasy GM land, where they think wide receiver was a much greater need than maybe it really is. And of course, the Weaver story. So I think lost in all of this is, you got a starting number one corner in the first round. You got a starting right tackle in the second round. You have a starting slot corner potentially at pick 100, who probably should have been a second round pick, and Elijah Molden. Monty Rice could be your starting middle linebacker as early as 2022, because your two inside linebackers are in the final year of their contract. You just declined the fifth-year option for Rashawn Evans. So Evans and Jayon Brown are both potentially going to be gone at the end of the year. Like, and again, you took a receiver less than 20 picks later, right? Like, people are losing their mind. Oh, how can you take Monty Rice, an inside linebacker, at 92 and not take a wide receiver? Wide receiver, they took Des Fitzpatrick at 109. That's 17 picks later. So it's not clearly Des Fitzpatrick was the guy that John Robinson wanted. So they traded up to get him in the fourth round, in fact. So they filled needs, in my opinion. I actually like the Weaver pick, the player. This goes back to the Isaiah Wilson thing and COVID and pandemic and virtual Zoom this and Zoom that. Like, I don't think people are going to miss on players. I think the NFL teams are going to miss on people, not players. And so did they miss on Weaver? We don't know. This is a misdemeanor, and there's conflicting reports. And frankly, unless you're a lawyer and are inside the case, I frankly don't care about your opinion, because everyone is innocent until proven guilty, and every domestic assault charge should be taken extremely seriously. That's like all I ever want to hear anyone on radio ever say ever about any of these type of incidents, because we just don't know what the reality is. That's the Titans' job right now to find out. Should the fans and should the media be holding the Titans a little bit more accountable for what they knew and when? Sure, I'm on board with that, but I also understand how tight the timeline was.
Braden, because of different circumstances going on within the division, you've had the Texans. They've taken a lot of the spotlight this off season based on Deshaun Watson and what is going on with his current situation. And then after the draft, and even leading up to the draft, you had the Jags stealing a lot of attention with getting Trevor Lawrence and Urban Meyer, and how's all this going to work? Are the Titans sort of flying under the radar right now? Just why are we not talking about the Titans more in Super Bowl contention? Is it just because of the moment we're in right now, and then that'll ramp up as the season approaches? Just how do you see that conversation?
Yeah, That's a super complicated answer. Like, why is my 4-year-old struggling to go to bed right now? There's like six different answers, right? And I think a lot of, like, number one, the Tigers are never going to garner national attention, especially not when the best player on the planet is holding his franchise hostage in Aaron Rodgers. So, you know, Dak Prescott dominates coverage. Doesn't mean everyone really actually cares about Dak Prescott, right? It's just the national scope is not going to pay as much attention to the Titans because they just don't have as big a fan base. They don't draw the clicks and the eyeballs, and that's just sort of a fact of life. That's the number one force that's always going to be sort of applied to every kind of conversation about the Titans. You know, I don't think anyone in Knoxville or Nashville is at all surprised with how Urban Meyer has begun his NFL career with just completely doofus maneuvers. Like, I just can't believe that he's, like, even for Urban Meyer, you're like, oh, okay, go hire the racist strength and conditioning coach. Cool. All right, good job, buddy. Like, even for Urban, it's just, like, kind of silly. So how long does that last? He's a lightning rod personality. They've got the number one pick, like you mentioned, in Trevor Lawrence. So, like, again, he's literally going to try to turn him into Tim Tebow like he did at Florida and just kind of cover up all the other weird stuff that's going on. So that's going to draw attention. You know, you mentioned Deshaun Watson. That's one of the biggest off-season stories. I think the Colts fans probably have the same exact argument. Like, hey, look at us. We're the two good teams in the division. Colts and Titans, we're good at football. We win games. And remember, the Colts were almost as good as the Titans, if not as good as the Titans last year. Defensively, the Titans were just atrocious. I think they've addressed a lot of those needs in the offseason, both free agency and in the draft. And they've got some star power on offense. So I think the Colts, with their acquisition of Wentz, they got some headlines early, but that sort of died down. And so if you're a Titans or a Colts fan, you're sort of like, I'm okay with sort of just sliding through right now. Because the Weaver story is, again, one of the few sort of, like, once they traded Isaiah Wilson and, like, rid themselves of that saga, it's sort of how the Titans and Vrabel and John Robinson want to be. They sort of want to be under the radar a little bit and kind of just do their, you know, handle their business and trust the process and all that good stuff. So Titans fans can't take it too seriously. When they're 11-5 and they've won a second division in a row and they're in a playoff game, they're going to get plenty of coverage.
We're talking to Braden Gall from 440 Sports and the Athlon Sports College Football Preview Magazine coming out soon. So, Braden, now that spring's behind us, how do you compare Tennessee's quarterback position and situation right now with the battle that still will take place? How do you compare it to other schools and where things stand for them in the SEC? Where does Tennessee kind of rank with its quarterback position right now?
Sure. That's a great question because I think it's a better way if you're – I'm not trying to, like, spin it for the home team here, but I do think that if you want to look at the glass half full as a Tennessee fan, I think that's the right way to look at it, is how does our room look relative to somebody else's room? Now, is it Matt Corral at Ole Miss? Is it JT Daniels at Georgia? Is it Emory Jones at Florida? You know, is it Bryce Young at Alabama? You know, no, but would I take that room over a handful of other places? You bet, because I think there's at least a bunch of different options. Whereas I look at, you know, there's some other teams in this league and you just go, you know, I'm not sure what's there. I'm just not like, what's that Arkansas? I don't know. What's the Kentucky? I don't know. You know, there's a freshman at Vanderbilt and a South Carolina at Mississippi State that all started last year. How good are they? LSU, what is going on at LSU? And we know they recruit talented players at LSU. So I think from that sense, you can look at the room and say, well, Josh Heupel's got options. And I'll repeat this until, you know, opening kickoff. You want the decision to be easy. That's what fans, like, I know we love a quarterback battle that's long and drawn out and there's lots of drama there and salacious details and our personal feelings being affected by all, like, there's all this stuff that goes into a quarterback battle that we love as, like, human beings because it's a soap opera. But what you want is, like, 5 days into camp, Josh Heupel's like, this guy's the starter, end of discussion. Like, that's what you want, because that means there's somebody that's clearly the best. So there's lots of good options. Are there any great options? I don't know. I think that remains to be seen. Could some of the young kids develop into a great option? Maybe. I haven't seen a great option yet. I've seen a bunch of good options. I'd like to think that a great option, hopefully, comes to the surface in the fall. But you know, would I rather have Tennessee's quarterback room than South Carolina's? Yeah. Kentucky's? Probably. You know, you can go down the list. There's plenty of rooms that I would rather have Tennessee's quarterback room than some other teams in the SEC right now, for sure.
Braden, would you imagine that whoever gets the starting nod at the beginning of the season, barring any injury, will finish the season as a starting quarterback? Or do you think this could be an evolutionary process of like maybe Darwinism, the strongest will survive to the end of the season?
That is, man, that's a great question because, you know, Hooker and Milton aren't exactly in too terribly a different situation than JG was last year, except for the fact that he was just in Knoxville and everybody sort of had fatigue because they'd seen him so much and sort of knew what he was. I don't think fans, like if you were a Michigan fan, you probably have Joe Milton fatigue, right? Like you probably looked at Joe Milton the same way Tennessee fans looked at Jared Garantano. It's not exact glowing review. You know, Hendon Hooker's a little different because he got into the game, made some plays, was the starting guy, and then sort of fell, the whole thing kind of fell apart, and that one's a little different. I hope it's the same guy. If you're a fan, you're hoping that it's the same person. The only reason it wouldn't be is that maybe one of the young guys, especially Salter, just isn't ready yet and needs some time. But that takes me right back to my new favorite observation about quarterbacks in the SEC, which is, you know, mentally you shouldn't need a whole lot of time to be able to handle the adversity that is thrown at you. I don't expect a freshman to understand the entire playbook and mentally read a Nick Saban defense or a Kirby Smart defense perfectly. I'm not talking about that mental. I'm talking about mental toughness and the ability to throw an interception and then come back the next drive and still execute the right way. Or, you know, you're not mentally so fragile that a couple of bad games and all of a sudden you can't put 2 feet in front of the other. So that would be my concern. Is there somebody's a younger player, you know, Bailey or Salter that might need some more time? But you know, how much more time does Bailey need to develop into a guy who's capable of handling the adversity? I'd like to think we should already know that about him. Can he make throws to win games? Like, that's another question. But mentally, can he handle the adversity? I would like to think that we already know that about him.
Hey, Braden, what all is
so?
Yeah, what all is going on at 440 Sports right now? And as I mentioned, we're getting closer to the Athlon preview, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Magazines come out May 25th, the week of the 25th or 4th, something like that. So if you want to pre-order, make sure you pick out the cover you want and get your custom cover for your favorite team and get it a little bit earlier. Always go to the website, athlonsports.com, little button, buy a magazine right up there at the top, pretty self-explanatory. So that's how you'll get the cover you want and probably a little bit earlier than if you go buy it on newsstands. So always recommend that. We've got Club and Country soccer podcast about Nashville SC out on Tuesdays, Gold Standard podcast with myself and Adam Vingan for the Nashville Predators out every Wednesday. Fringe Element SEC podcast on Thursdays. Our guest this week, Jawan Williams, former defensive back at Vanderbilt, who's now plays for the New England Patriots, had a long conversation about what players are going through right now, transitioning from college, the SEC, into the NFL, what it was like on draft night, getting a call from Robert Kraft, all that cool stuff. So really, if you care about college football, a really fun episode with Jawan Williams. And then another SEC football player actually on Lamestream, our media podcast every Friday about the state of Tennessee, and Darren Bates, a special teamer who now has his own show, kind of transitioning from life and football into the media, a fascinating dude. So Darren Bates, our guest on that podcast. So check out Lamestream Sports on Fridays, everywhere podcasts are found. Rate, review, and subscribe. Smash and share, all that good stuff.
All
type in 440
stuff.
Sports. That's right. And it'll be there for you. Download, subscribe, and positive ratings and reviews. Hey, Braden, we appreciate the time as always. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you again soon.
Look, I'll take the bad review. That's fine. I don't mind. Just give me a review. Just tell me what you think. That's all we care about.
And yeah, that's right. Keep listening.
you want it to be constructive, something to build on, for sure.
I mean, listen, I can handle disagreement and negativity. I'm married, okay? I can handle it.
There you go. And a dad at that, Braden Gall, he joins us each week here on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. Braden, we appreciate it as always.
Always a pleasure. Love you, honey.
Thanks, Braden. We'll come back with the final segment, the Power Poll, Heather, National Concert Day, our top five concerts. We'll get to that. Should have asked Braden about that. We'll have it coming up, and then Sports Talk at 3 o'clock here on 99.1, the Sports Animal.